see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Chad, if you were the person, hypothetically speaking, who were sent home, why do you think that would be? And he's just like, it's a dumb question, bro. Like,
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. We did it. We made it all the way.
We made it through all 2 episodes and all 4 hours of The Bachelorette this week. And I also went to a Beyoncé concert last night.
You're a real life hero.
They say women can't have it all, but
it's not true.
It's not true. There's so much to say about this week's Chadsplosion that we recorded 2 sessions with 2 wonderful guests. We had writer Kevin Nguyen and Bachelorette alum Michael Garofola.
We're going to talk about Hitler comparisons, throat punches, tooth removal threats, and all sorts of other things we hoped we'd never see on the greatest show ever made about love.
First up, our chat about Monday night's episode with Kevin.
All right, it's time for us to talk about night 1 of our 2-night
Chad-ageddon.
Yes. So we are joined to talk about night 1 by Kevin Nguyen, a writer in Brooklyn. Thanks for joining us, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going?
I don't remember anything that happened last night, so who wants to start us off?
We did start the episode, and the house had been teepeed.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, the house was a disaster.
I liked how it started out. Everyone was sleeping on couches, and someone was saying, oh, it was like a hurricane struck last night. And there were just close-up shots of baby carrots strewn on the ground. Seems like they were just like, wait, this is going to look so much better if we just, I have an idea, just like don't clean it up.
Also, did the men get drunk and teepee their own house, or did the producers
do
that? No,
I'm pretty much 100% sure we actually saw the teepeeing happen the previous episode. Hmm. I think that Will thought that it would be cute to do it with JoJo, and we saw them doing it together, but then Will got the boot at the end of that episode. And I think that happened because I remember Chad talking about how immature all the men were. And it was kind of like, okay, Chad, whatever. But then Will legitimately was TPing the house with JoJo. So point taken, Chad. But the TP was still there, though Will was gone. And Chad's meat plates were still there.
Always.
Always.
They have staying power.
They do. It's hard. It must have been difficult for the Bachelor producers to keep Chad in food. Like, just the sheer amount of calories.
For the first time in Bachelor history, they were running low on craft services.
I think that's why they didn't clean it up. They were like, we're just going to have to bring in more fucking deli meat. And, like, first thing in the morning, let's just leave it there.
I feel like you guys were talking about this last episode. It's like, Chad always seems to be eating, and it's like, is it because he's always eating, or are they deliberately filming him while he's eating? And it's like, I think he's just always eating.
Yeah.
Because it was like this episode, too.
Yeah, because it's not even like random B-roll of him over there eating. It's during important conversations. He's eating a sweet potato.
Yeah.
Like an apple.
A raw sweet potato.
Never seen that before.
Like, I know we'll get to this later, but my favorite moment from last night's episode was Daniel telling him to be more like Mussolini. And then just cuts to Chad, and he's just, like, eating lettuce.
Yes, that was definitely the golden moment of last night. We will get to that in a minute.
Oh, God.
First, let's address
After we see a nice little shot of Chad and Daniel working out together.
I've heard repeatedly that there's no gym equipment in the house.
So they brought these weights.
They brought them in their luggage. They must have. Where was their room next to all of the protein powder?
No, it's in the protein powder bag.
That's why there was no room for steroids.
So Chase gets the first one-on-one date.
Yes.
And the date card says, let's get physical, sort of in the theme, the working out theme.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to a yoga studio.
JoJo has always wanted to try yoga. And thanks to The Bachelor, now her dream can become a reality.
Well, I hate to burst JoJo's bubble, but this date was not yoga.
No.
Like, they were in a Bikram yoga studio, but they did no yoga. They did awkward thrusting and then sitting on each other's laps.
Yeah.
That's a good description of it.
If you're using the word mounting more than any other verb, then you're probably not in a yoga class.
Also a terrible idea for a date.
It was just – I think that they were trying to go with that thing where if you stare in each other's eyes for 4 minutes, you'll fall in love.
Mm.
I mean, you will at least make out.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. She felt safe in his arms.
I think this was just one of those dates that was completely designed to humiliate the participants. They wanted – I feel like they wanted a little bit of personality out of Chase. He's very even-keeled.
Yeah. We didn't get any personality out of him.
We did get a makeout.
Speaking of which, I think that we can move on to the group date. So the group date card comes. It's Jordan, Grant, Wells, James F., Ali, Daniel, Evan, Chad, Alex, Christian, Nick S., Vinny.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay. A lot of guys. 12 in total. And first of all, Chad is like...
I was so excited when I saw he was on that date.
It was the perfect date for Chad.
Yes. Because so the date, it reminded me of, was it Caitlyn's season when they go do stand-up? Which was, I think, the most amazing group date.
Well, didn't that have Amy Schumer?
It did have Amy Schumer.
And that was amazing.
And she called JJ a turd.
It was the greatest moment. I think he maybe still has that in his Twitter bio.
Yeah. But imagine if that had happened to Chad. Chad would have, like, strangled her.
Well, it's also the things he's angry about are just like, this is how the show is constructed. You know, it's like,
right.
It's fun. I feel like we like it when contestants, like, they wink at the camera and they, you know, have a little self-awareness of just about how weird the whole scenario is. Like, that's cute every once in a while. Chad just, like, he just, like, wanted to break it down and just, like, didn't want to play ball at all.
Yeah. He seemed to think he could have a certain – he was like, I will trade you my place on this group date and I will take the one-on-one date instead.
That I was not assigned.
Yeah, and they were like, no, but see, that's not how it works.
You can cross your name
off. You cannot go on this group date, but that doesn't mean that you're getting the one-on-one date.
Like, all of these dates are ridiculous. Of course no one in the real world wants to date one person and be competing with 20 other men. Like, that's – that's not a thing anyone signs up for except people who explicitly agree to go on a dating show.
What? I can't figure out why he signed up for the show.
I want to know, like, which friend of his got drunk and, like, made a YouTube video of him and submitted it.
It just feels like the whole setup is designed to make him feel humiliated in
which
a way.
Which I'm sure the producers were thrilled about. Here's someone that they can really push buttons.
Chad Mageddon. Hashtag Chad Mageddon.
Okay, sorry. Derailed that. We can get back to the actual date, the sex talk date.
Yes. So it started with a woman coming on stage and appearing to have an orgasm.
It really provided some great close-ups. And also so many great – room for great jokes about how these men seem completely baffled by women's orgasms. Except Evan. Evan is like – game for this. He's like, I deal with sex all day long. Talk about erectile dysfunction.
Right.
Like, I'm here for this.
Well, so their task is to go backstage and plan a little stand-up piece about an awkward sexual encounter or something like that. And Evan's like, just another day at the office. And I was like, okay, so are you saying that talking about awkward sexual encounters is, like, a component of your erectile dysfunction therapy? Because I would really like to know more about that.
That's how he helps the men.
It's unconventional, but
he's like, tell me your worst sex story.
I'm gonna be like, yeah, listen, bro. I can top that. It's nothing. Nothing to feel bad about. Actually, Evan didn't even end up telling a story about himself.
I would say that, like, I mean, I know we only got to see snippets of everyone, but, like, everyone's story was awful. Just, like, truly awful.
Grant did a good job of playing, like, he was funny.
Most people definitely did a good job of having fun with it.
Yes.
In a very embarrassing situation, which I would just
not handle well. Right, like, none of them should be professional storytellers or stand-up comics, but
no. I saw Wells's story on Twitter yesterday because his got cut.
And right, they just showed him teasing it.
Yeah, and apparently his threesome story was
a colonoscopy.
But
which is just really.
It's not bad.
Sounds like Wells.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Daniel's story, of course, was the most, like, Canadian serial killer story ever. It's like, I just tied her to the bed over there, and then
oh, you, like, wanted to cut her hair or something?
I just had a knife on me because I just carry it all the time, you know? And so I don't know why. I just thought I'd just cut off some of her hair. I just for whatever reason. I don't know. I was like, what the fuck?
I think he's a psycho, but he might be too weird to be a psycho.
He's like a Canadian psycho. he's sort of charming and opposed to
punching.
Yeah, to punching.
It's totally fine until he, you know, cuts all your hair off and
it's
has
definitely
to move on
a very creepy story.
It was weird. So the big event is Evan's story.
Evan, hyped up by Alex, has just decided to go after Chad.
Yeah. They've all had
it
enough
seems
of
like
Chad.
A little maybe not necessary.
A little juvenile.
Yeah. I think so.
A little juvenile, considering this is a man in his mid-30s. But he did go up on stage and imply that Chad was using steroids.
Yes. And
Chad was not happy about this.
His reaction was pretty priceless. Just, like, his humorless, like, just, like, that anger festering in the audience.
His veins,
like, popping out, his roid veins.
You better be careful because he can find you after this is all over.
Seriously.
The eyes are just the deadness behind
them. You could
see
the rage welling
it's
up.
It's terrifying.
And then he goes on stage and obviously refuses to tell a story because he believes that JoJo should earn the right to hear about his failed sex life.
Yeah. Also, he doesn't want to hear about her past. It's just, it's in the past. It's whatever. Women, he doesn't even want to hear about it, okay? Like, whatever.
Women should be virgins, Claire.
I mean, whatever. Like, as long as he doesn't know, okay? It's like it never happened.
It definitely reminded me of Tony doing stand-up from Caitlin's season.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he just went up and, again, was unintentionally hilarious. He was like, I'm going to need an assistant for
JoJo.
My set, JoJo. And he was like, this isn't about the past or a story of my past. This is about the future. And with that, and he tried to really plant one on JoJo.
And she just turns her head.
Oof,
that was painful.
Denied.
The other men, I've never seen them so overjoyed.
Yeah, they were gleeful.
Oh, and the one thing that happened before Chad went on stage is Evan had to walk by him in the audience. So Chad could go up, and then he walked by, and then Chad tore his shirt from behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's a normal thing that people do.
That was insane.
I loved how afterwards people were like, so why did you rip Evan's shirt after that set? That was a little disproportionate. We were all just joking around. And he was like, no, I don't care. He can, like, make fun of me or whatever. The thing was that I wanted to walk out of the aisle first, and Evan just, like, walked past me even though I wanted to walk out first.
And then he created a whole narrative where Evan pushed him.
Yeah.
Which, right, that did not happen.
Well, everyone else was right there, so I'm pretty sure if that happened, we would know.
Yeah, like, Evan is the bully.
Well, Chad is very unhappy. He punches a metal door.
And then he punches Evan in the throat.
And then he says, if I can't lift weights, I'm going to kill someone.
And that's when Daniel
That's where Daniel draws the line.
Turns against his best bro.
Only after death threats.
Only after death threat. He was like, I don't think there's any Daniel call the for Canadian. For violence, eh?
When they really let him talk.
Yeah, the things that he said.
It gets great.
Yeah, he just sounds like he's still learning how to talk. Like,
did you see that when he was writing down his story on the notepad where they were supposed to, like, draft their story, and he just drew a stick figure of a person? No. I was like, do you not know how to write your story down in words? I'm getting concerned.
Oh, I love the idea that he's on stage and he's just like looking at his cards and saw a bunch of doodles and he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
He was like, oh, right. Like, this stick figure was on the bed and there was a knife. it's all here in my pictures. So then they go to the evening portion of the date, which by that point I kind of thought it was the cocktail party. I'd lost track of time.
We're like, no, we're still on this date.
Still on this date. Chad was binge drinking.
Oh, he was plastered by the end of the night.
He really started to look terrifying at that point.
Yeah.
You know, because there's something like, usually his intensity is, it feels kind of controlled.
It's restrained.
Restrained. And now it's like getting a little looser. And like the part where he just like drags the chair to like put his feet on while like JoJo is talking to someone else.
He's
like,
lurking.
Yeah, in a very unsettling way.
Also, Chad was taking on some real Donald Trump-like qualities again. His whole rhetoric about how he doesn't start anything, he only retaliates, just sounded so much like how Donald Trump speaks about when he verbally
was like,
bullies
I don't go
people.
Out of my way to harm people physically, but, you know, if
sometimes
the opportunity,
it has to happen.
If the opportunity presents itself, like, yeah, I'm going to hurt them, like, obviously. And then Chad actually gets to talk to JoJo, and she's like, what is the deal with you grabbing Evan's shirt? And he tries to spin it in this really interesting way that I found so fascinating. He's like, you know how when the little kid is like, he tries to like beat up the bully and, you know, like he's just like coming out. And that's like Evan is just like trying to like stand up to the bully and like so. And she's like, so you're the bully? Don't be a bully. And he's like, no, but I'm just like, I'm not really doing anything. He's starting it. But like, he's just like trying to like, you know, give me a hard time because he's always been bullied.
Chad would never paint himself as the little kid.
Right, exactly. He can't paint himself as like the feeble one, but he also can't paint himself as the aggressor. So he comes up with this weird thing where it's like, you know how little kids are always picking on big, strong bullies? And it's like, no, that's not a thing.
Well, it's like, that's his entire worldview, right? Like, he believes there are only bullies and victims, and he'd rather be a bully. It's like, right. He doesn't like it, but he'd rather be
but
this.
But now he's being victimized.
Yeah.
And then Chad eventually just turns to JoJo and says, are you super confused about me? And she's like, yes.
She shouldn't be, though. I think that it's pretty clear at this point that he has issues.
But she's
issues.
Seen his sensitive side, Claire. But not Hitler.
But not Hitler.
Not Hitler.
That interaction was amazing.
I love their friendship.
Well, Chad's just like, what if I'm not Hitler? I was like, that's a pretty appropriate reaction.
Yeah, that was actually I've enjoyed Chad is just in that exchange where Daniel's like, let's say you were Hitler. And Chad's like, let's really not say I was Hitler.
No, let's just say you are. It's like, but no. And then he's like, but let's say you're Mussolini. And he's like, okay.
No, then he's like, or Trump, or George Bush. And I just, it was so funny to me, the whole thing. Also, like, I love, Daniel seemed very well-versed in American political villains.
Well, I think that if you're Canadian, it's—
Right, you're constantly like, what is the U.S. going to fuck up for me now?
We also assume that everybody in the U.S. hates Bush, and I'm sure, like, most of the dudes on that show are very pro-Bush.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure Chad was like, what?
Okay. Who do you think maybe is a Democrat in that bunch?
Wells,
maybe.
Evan, maybe.
Yeah, Evan. That's about it.
That's about it. Yeah. And then— Yeah, I'd say Daniel's probably, like, a solid Canadian liberal. Oh, there's so much this episode. Okay, we have to talk about the James Taylor one-on-one. This comes right after.
But really quickly.
Evan gives an ultimatum.
Evan gives an ultimatum.
The Chad ultimatum.
Chad or me. And then immediately JoJo is like, what if it's not Chad or you, but maybe both of you, would you stay? And he's like, yes. Yeah. Yes, I would.
What if no, and I do my thing?
He is so bad at ultimatums. He, like, immediately failed.
Also, it's this Chad is the best outcome that he could hope for, because there is no way that JoJo's actually into Evan.
Yeah, I think the only good thing Chad said this episode is just, like, nobody chooses Evan for anything. And I was like, oh, probably right. I think even if I had, like, an erectile dysfunction problem, I would go to someone else besides Evan.
Well, if I had an erectile dysfunction problem, I would definitely go to someone else besides Evan. But that just, like, that made me want to go on a date with Evan. Like, I was like, just, fuck
like, I
you,
will
Chad.
Choose Evan over Chad.
I definitely would choose Evan over Chad. Okay.
James Taylor. Really super cute one-on-one date. And the most James Taylor thing ever. Like, it involved dancing. It involved
Which he's
a
very
guitar.
Bad at.
Do you think he's just has a producer carrying his guitar around at all times in case he needs to break it out?
Yes. 100%.
He's like, JoJo. Now, for me, I'm going to debut my next single for you.
Yeah. That song, though, it was – I kept trying to, like, nod my head along with it, and I couldn't. Like, I kept thinking that I was, like, getting into the beat, and I was like – dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. He is a deeply, deeply terrible guitar player.
Yeah, it's just not great.
I made the mistake of, like – I guess this is how far into the Bachelorette world I am. I tweeted, like – James Taylor is just about the worst guitar player I've ever seen, forgetting that there is, like, a Grammy-winning musician named James Taylor. So people are all been mentioned, and they're like, what the hell? James Taylor is great. And I was like, shit, this is a Bachelorette
tweet. No, not
I just
not
this
James
for, like,
Taylor.
Four or five people.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, there was, like, nothing interesting about that date, really.
It's also, like, it after the cute. Escalation.
She had a great vintage, like, outfit on.
She looked great.
Yeah, she looked fantastic.
Great. He looked great. Mm-hmm. There was an adorable, like, 92-year-old woman dancer who was teaching them, and she was adorable.
We got to have the great conversation where James Taylor was like, I used to be ugly, and now I want to date really hot chicks. And she was like,
You deserve that.
And I was like, I want to see the gender reversal of this on The Bachelor, and it's never going to happen. So they share a beautiful moment under the stars in JoJo's convertible that is just around all the time now. And then we head back to the mansion for what would normally be, like, the day of the cocktail party. But then Chris Harrison shows up with some news. There's not going to be a cocktail party before the rose ceremony.
Devastated.
I feel like they cut to, like, three talking heads of dudes who I've, like, never seen before in my life. They're just like, we rely on this time to get to know JoJo better.
Yeah.
He's like, you guys are so effed. I don't know who you are.
That's exactly why they needed the time. They were like, we were just going to do a Hail Mary, like, please talk to me. Remember me.
It's me, Vinny H.
And then we find out that there's no cocktail party, but there is a pool party.
Pool party.
Woo!
And then, of course, like, all the guys are just like, can't wait to see JoJo in a bikini. And
except
it's like,
for Chad.
Right. Chad is actively not excited because he doesn't want the other men to have the pleasure of seeing JoJo in a bikini.
Which is somehow even grosser.
It's
definitely grosser. He's like, I can imagine her in a bikini.
Like, I already,
like,
know. I already
don't
know
want,
what she looks like
I don't
under
want
that
the
bikini.
Other men to see her in a bikini. And it's like, dude, mm-hmm. She doesn't belong to you. Like,
he also is just like, I think I know what she looks like. Like, I could imagine that under the dress or whatever.
He's like, yeah, I mean, I've just been thinking about it every night when I go to sleep.
Also, like, does he think that other men can't do that, too? He's like,
have
I
imagination.
Can figure out what she looks like under there.
He has a special power. He's like, look, I only have a few special skills. They include housing deli sandwiches and imagining women naked.
He's like, listen, guys, I have a sixth sense, but sometimes I can imagine things in my head that aren't actually
specifically
there.
Specifically breasts. Chris Harrison is about to exit, and then Evan has not had enough with Chad, and he decides to tattle on Chad to Chris Harrison, which, like, I just don't believe Chris Harrison can do anything at this
point.
Well,
he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Right. Chris Harrison is not the one to go to about this.
Well, so Chris is like, violence is not okay. I hear that Derek was Chad's roommate. He hasn't been sleeping in the room with Chad because he's afraid for his life.
And there's a security guard now just wandering around the house, lurking near Chad and Daniel.
Chad is a ticking time bomb who's been making threats. And so Evan is like, Chris, we're afraid of Chad. Chris says violence is not okay. I'm going to step in. So he steps in by going to Chad and saying, violence crosses the line. We can't have that here. So I want you to go back in there and resolve this.
Become best friends with all the other bros.
It's like, I want you to fix this in whatever way you feel will be acceptable.
It sounded like something straight out of Unreal.
Yeah, I was like
it was so, like, nakedly manipulative.
Yes.
And Chad's like, oh, so that appropriate way is to beat the shit out of these guys.
Yeah. I feel
Chris like is just probably like, yes.
It was the most—he didn't even say words like apologize. He was like, in whatever way you feel like is acceptable.
Whatever way you think will be received.
It's like, Chris, you moron. You just found out that this guy's been making death threats
to people. As Chris said, he just believes that this is what happens when you get that much testosterone in one place.
That almost distracts me from the really tantalizing note that this ended on, which was Chad striding back into the room with the men to confront Evan while threatening to cut all of their arms and legs off and throw their torsos into the pool.
Yay! Not at all.
So he can imagine
horrifying.
He can imagine boobs and, you know,
and
various ways to murder someone.
Despite my best impulses, I like loved this episode.
Oh, it was a great episode.
It was really interesting because often I find myself actively bored for at least an hour. I was, riveted, and there wasn't even a rose ceremony.
It's genuinely unpredictable. But I can't wait to see what happens with the dismemberment next episode. And thank you so much for joining us, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're going to take a short break, but stick around. After the break, we will be joined by Michael Garofola to break down everything that happened in Tuesday night's episode 4. Don't miss it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes. There's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Before we get back to the show, have you had a chance to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes? If not, now is the perfect time to subscribe and give us a rating. Every time we get a new subscription or review, our show climbs the iTunes chart, which helps other people discover our show.
Okay, now back to the show. Bachelorette alum of Desiree's season, Michael G, is joining us to talk about the Tuesday night episode of The Bachelorette and all the craziness that went down.
We are here to recap the second night of this week's two-night double episode Bachelorette.
Chad extravaganza.
It's been a lot. And fortunately, we're joined by Bachelorette alum Michael Garofola, or you may know him as Michael G from Desiree's season. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you here today because we feel like you can give us some unique insight on all of the drama that went on in the house this week. There's a lot for us to talk about.
Yeah, I think as long as you can help me tame my PTSD from the two-on-one date, I think I'll be fine and helpful.
Yeah, we particularly want your insights on the two-on-one date situation because you were on the two-on-one date on your season.
With your season's villain. So we there's a lot to talk about today.
We started the episode right before pool party.
Oh, right, we got another scene of Chris Harrison.
We had just been informed that Chad wanted to dismember the men and throw their torsos into the pool. And then he actually went in and tried to defuse the situation instead by telling them all that it wasn't his fault and they needed to leave him alone.
But also, they're all probably good guys.
Yeah, but, like, just don't talk to him, you know? Right.
Yeah, a lot of conclusory statements as well. Yeah. You know, like, in other words, instead of apologizing or asking for forgiveness, he comes in and says, hey, everything is good. We're fine. Trust me, we're fine.
That usually works for me when I'm in a fight with someone. I just go to them and tell them, we're fine. You're cool with me. And then I walk away. Did you guys notice that all of the men were wearing the same necklace during the pool party? Like, so what happened?
Someone tweeted at me that it's a lanyard for wearing – Michael's nodding – for so that you can have your mic on when you're wearing a swimsuit. Yes.
So they just stylize them.
You will see them. I mean, I remember – I had to answer these questions a lot. Yes. It's a microphone. Their microphone is in there because you're shirtless. So how else do we get the mic instead of just, like, sticking it to your shoulder or your neck?
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
It's in the necklace. But I remember Bachelor in Paradise. They use this a lot in Bachelor in Paradise because, a lot of times you're on the beach and you're shirtless. And, you know, sweating through your bathing suit. So they put it – you know, around your neck, and everyone is always tweeting, like, why are the guys wearing these terrible, like, you know, puka shell necklaces whatever, and it's because we have to in order to put on a TV show.
Mystery I would have solved. A really hard time with that if I were you guys. I'd be like, listen up, guys, okay? I would never choose to wear this necklace.
Yeah, I mean, Chad should, you know, would probably be like, oh, why don't we just put it on my, you know, ankle monitor bracelet, you know? I'm not near a school, am I?
Unfortunately, that's too far away from his mouth for us to probably hear him, which would be amazing. Yeah,
but he talks out of his ass, so.
So the pool party does commence, and it was played up as having a lot of drama. This time it was all Mr. X.
Right, which was not surprising. I assumed that the bleeding probably wasn't actually going to be from Chad.
Yeah.
So Evan gets a nosebleed from a swan dive.
Yes. Or from the Earth's oxygen.
Oh,
Evan.
Maybe he, you know, some people just have fragile nasal membranes.
Despite what the preview had shown, no inflatable swan was actually harmed in the making of the pool party. You know, we had a pool party my season as well. So I you know, immediately when Chris Harrison comes in and, you know, JoJo is canceling the rose ceremony.
You're like, I know what this is.
It's a pool party. Marco Polo, everyone.
Some of the guys end up talking about Chad, unsurprisingly, during their little one-on-one times with JoJo, including Derek. And obviously, in the midst of that, a producer sends...
Yeah. Well, Derek is Chad's roommate, and he has not been sleeping in the room.
Because he has feared for his life.
Because Chad has serial killer eyes. Like, you'd be dumb to stay in the room.
Yeah, Chad's like he's like a cross between Macho Man Randy Savage and Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, like... professional wrestler and / serial killer.
So Chad overhears the men,
right?
Especially Derek talking a little shit about him.
Yeah, is Chad ever like? I mean, he's just sort of constantly doing laps around.
Right? Do you think a producer is just constantly being like, maybe you should go there?
I think he's like full of pent up energy.
He needs to do laps. Well, right. He doesn't have a gym, so
it's part of the cardio routine. I think he just, like, you know.
At some points, he was eating. But he would take, like, a whole plate and sit down by the pool and just chow down.
So he gets into an altercation with Derek And Derek remains really calm. I was actually...
He handled it so well. We want to know what you think, though, of that interaction.
I think Derek was singled out, and you could tell sort of the immediate eye roll reaction when Chad, you know, I don't know what he grunted at him or something to come over to the walkway. I mean, it was sort of a very... You come over, yeah. me, Chad. You come here, you know, like, you know, sort of. It took him in there, and then, you know, singled him out and whatever, and made that really sort of insulting comment of, you know, I don't know what girl left you for a guy that looks like me, you know, because Chad just assumes that every woman out there wants him, and if a woman pays attention to another guy, it's just because she's wasting, you know, her time or biding her time until she can finally have the Chad experience. Derek handled that so well. I mean, because he's mature, you know. Obviously, he's, you know, what he said was true. You know, if JoJo asked me a pointed question, I'm going to answer her question. And I don't think Derek went there the way some of the other gentlemen did just to talk about Chad. I think he was talking, and she asked him probably because he seems like a trustworthy, chill guy with a normal head on his shoulders. And she was probably like, look, I know other guys have, you know, might be a little biased or a little hot-headed, but let me ask you, what do you think? And he was honest and, you know, told her, he's like, I haven't slept in 72 hours because I am sharing a bunk with Chad.
A sociopath.
Yeah.
Right. And I like that he said to Chad's face, like, yeah, you do make me feel unsafe and you make misogynistic comments. And I was like, that is probably the first time I've ever heard the word misogynistic uttered on The Bachelorette ever.
It felt good.
It did feel good.
It's probably the first time you've ever heard a word with so many syllables uttered on The Bachelorette.
Also, at some point this episode, JoJo called Luke's physique impeccable. And I was like, whoa.
She didn't say amazing.
She didn't say amazing. Why not? Like, it was kind of exciting, and I got distracted for a few seconds. And then I was like, okay, like, your standards are getting way too low. But misogynistic was a big moment for me in this episode.
Me too.
But so we have a rose ceremony. Yes, which was really tough for me personally to watch.
Right, because we had to say goodbye to Christian and Ali, who were too underrated, did not get enough screen time. This is a travesty.
It was very emotional for me watching.
Yeah, how are you?
Watching Ali leave.
We basically saw nothing from him.
But he was just so perfect.
He plays the piano.
He likes donuts. I like donuts.
I mean, it's meant to be. In another
life. What else
life.
Do you need? Yeah.
Maybe he'll be in paradise. Who knows?
It's possible.
He could do well in paradise.
I think that he was an underrated stock on The Bachelorette.
I agree.
Clean up in paradise.
But he, you know, in a sense, you know, we don't really know him. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, I checked him out of a lineup, but I couldn't really.
He
had very few, you know, quotes or interviews, and you know, I don't know that. I don't think I have a good enough sense for him.
Yeah, we admittedly developed little crushes on Christian and Ali in this like behind the scenes intro video that showed some of the guys packing, and Ali was really cute,
very charming.
But you know what?
You know, it's
over
fine.
Now.
It's time
over.
To move on.
Some other people left, maybe.
Nick S.
Yeah.
Who?
Whatever.
He was Santa Claus, right?
Yeah, whatever.
She still was calling him Santa by this
that's
episode,
not a good
so
sign.
It was not to be.
No, that's never a good sign.
And then they packed their bags for Pennsylvania.
Woo! Yes. And Luke gets the first one-on-one. And just the perfect place to fall in love on a dog sled ride. In Pennsylvania, on the way to a hot tub in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Which was very romantic.
His impeccable physique.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luke did well. I think we're going to see him go pretty far.
Me.
He's growing on
he
me also.
He seems nice.
Yeah, I agree.
He seems nice. JoJo
Solid.
Thinks he looks like a GQ model.
She insisted that they make the tub really hot, and then she was like, it's too hot. And I was like, oh, my God, JoJo, you're so high maintenance. You don't want your skin to be burned off, whatever.
It was like a cauldron.
I was like, this doesn't seem up to code. But and also she was like, it's a wood-powered stove, so you have to chop the wood. And he literally chopped like one piece of wood and they
She's
tossed
like, this
it in.
Is
and
a
they're
man.
Like, great. Mission
you
accomplished.
Did well.
I definitely couldn't do it. Well, actually, I don't know that. I've never tried.
Never say never.
Never tried.
Maybe you're amazing at chopping
wood. You could be a lumberjack, yeah. and you don't even know.
That's your special skill. You just haven't discovered it yet.
Yeah,
I have so many undiscovered special skills. Yeah. I learn a lot about that watching The Bachelorette. So
we learn a little bit about Luke and his time at West Point.
It was really sad. His backstory was
very... He was in the military, was a platoon leader in Afghanistan, and one of his close friends died in action. One of his older brother figures. Super sad.
Yeah, who was married, just married. Recently.
Yeah.
Sad story. Yeah.
And he did... I think he came off really, really well.
Yeah.
It felt very genuine.
And despite all that, he hasn't tried to kill anyone in the house.
Exactly.
Despite all of his grieving.
Right. He has grief. He has been in the military. I'm sure he has the ability to dismember someone if he needed to.
I mean, his physique is impeccable.
His physique is impeccable. And yet he has managed to make a lot of friends with the other guys and not be a complete douchebag.
Well, he talked a lot about the feeling of responsibility that you develop when you're put in a position of leadership in a military setting.
Which I thought was really powerful. So Luke gets the rose, and they do that awkward thing where they parade them into a concert and make them make out on a tiny platform while everyone in there just records them on their iPhones. There's nothing romantic about that. So awkward.
I like that everyone in the audience had like a neon green bracelet that was their like admission. Like it looked like they were at some sort of like the worst, most pathetic music festival ever.
Like an EDM where this
one,
rave or
one band
really
that no one's ever
rave.
Heard of.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see that ITM, you know, that in the moment interview with Luke where Luke's, you know, like, what's the name? What were their
names?
It
was a very EDM sort of aura for what was essentially like
a
an
slow
alt
song.
Country.
It was very confusing.
Yeah, they were, it was weird. They were all the audience was on Molly, and yet they were like doing this slow, just like slow dance.
It's just so weird to me that it could ever feel romantic to have that many strangers.
I really don't think it
literally
does. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I doubt that was romantic.
I would say it's probably... probably feels exciting and exhilarating more than romantic at that point, you know.
You're like, I'm a big enough deal to be on a tiny platform with people recording me.
Well, it creates that that rush of adrenaline that, like, mimics the feeling of falling in love. You're like, is this love? And it's like, no, you're just feeling
a
lot of excitement.
No, it's a band you've never heard of. In front of screaming teenagers wearing neon green wristbands.
Yes.
Meanwhile, back at the house— Things are getting ugly with Chad.
They did that thing where they compare Chad to an actual animal and keep cutting to footage of a black bear.
Yeah. The guys are trying to stir some shit up with Chad. Yeah. And he is just great at taking the bait. He really goes for it.
Especially because we learn that Alex and Chad are going to be on a two-on-one later.
Yeah.
The dreaded two-on-one.
So Luke comes back from the date with a rose, and it's time for the group date.
Derek, James T, Daniel, Chase, Wells, Vinny, James F, Evan, Grant, Jordan, and Robbie are on this group date.
And
it's a football-themed date.
Bravo. Very well done.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I was having real jealousy. Sometimes I watch the show and I'm just like, oh my God, this is like, I have PTSD. I go through a lot of different emotions when I watch. It's like PTSD, it's like embarrassment for them. And then other times it's just sheer jealousy. And I will tell you that this date was one date where I was completely jealous of this experience.
Like, could they not find someone other than Ben Roethlisberger?
Right, like someone who has not been accused of
the Chad of the NFL.
Twice.
The Chad
twice.
Of the NFL. Ben
it's
Roethlisberger
like,
is
like
the Chad
maybe
of the NFL.
Leave sexual assault out of it.
And like, I know he hasn't been convicted, but
just like, why invite that? Aren't there other NFL
players?
I'm
sure there was a conversation had with JoJo. Like, look, you have to hug Ben, but just hug him very lightly and walk away.
We won't let him follow you into a bathroom.
Oh, God.
Yeah, fortunately, it seems like he mostly just watched and laughed at the guys.
And ate cheese doodles. That was pretty cool. He was like, that was actually kind of funny. I mean, he's like sitting there like chuckling. They just get him like B-roll of him like chuckling, eating cheese doodles. I thought that was pretty, pretty entertaining.
It's funny. And, he looked nothing like a sports star. Like, he just looked like some like dad in a sports bar. It was just like... Yeah, football, cool. But it was a very, like, macho episode. Like, James Taylor gets, like, a gash over his eye.
He's
and the medic
bleeding.
Says he needs stitches.
He's
and
like,
he says,
absolutely not.
No, no. I need to stay here and fight for my girl. Oh my and they're God. Like,
he
yeah.
Put a bandage over
yeah,
his
dude,
eye.
You're a warrior. That's awesome.
I
and I was
like
no, he has a head wound. Make him get stitches.
It did his in the moment with like dried blood just dripping down his
Listen,
face.
This is all, yeah, he was like massive head wound Harry for those of you who are SNL fans out there. I thought like a dog was going to come and start like licking his head.
Also, they're like, you have a head injury. You should probably play football.
Yeah, I think like, the NFL has some like concussion, you know, protocol now, or James Taylor will have CTE. And sadly,
yeah,
you know,
I did watch
that.
Concussion finally recently on a plane, and it was eye opening.
Well, it was
disturbing.
It was just a flesh wound. I think we can all agree on that.
James, right? Yeah, he probably doesn't have a concussion.
James Taylor is not Lawrence Taylor. There's no question about that.
So the big surprise here is that Jordan Rodgers' team won.
Well, he was,
well,
on
he
both
was playing both.
Oh,
he
would have won either way.
Yes, yeah. Which he says.
Yeah, he was automatic QB.
See, this is what happens when I tweet too much.
Yeah, that was smart though. They couldn't have really put him fully on one team.
Then he automatically gets.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine.
This is now a sports analysis. I think he gave both teams the best chance to win, and it was a super competitive game. I'd say, I don't know if they manipulated that score or not, like they did in my season with the soccer.
Did they?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
how did they do that?
Well, we went in my season when we went to Barcelona. We competed against a professional women's soccer team, and Des played for the women.
I liked that.
And we had Juan Pablo, but of course Juan Pablo got like a red card, I believe, and was ejected. From the match, and he's obviously our best player.
But
we ended up ejected.
We ended up losing. Yeah. He argued like a call, like kidding, but jokingly, and the ref, you know, gave him a red card, and he was sent out.
Okay, yeah, that's
so.
A little...
Then they beat us by like two. But what they showed when they all of a sudden we saw the score going, so it looked like they beat us like 12-2, but really we lost like 8-6 or something like that. So I wonder, you know, you never know what the score is. But
that's funny.
I wanted to address this one thing that you said about James Taylor being so macho. That's another thing that reminds me with dodgeball. We played dodgeball, and Brooks like broke his finger like in the first game, he gets carted off an ambulance. I broke my thumb, actually, my left thumb.
God.
Like,
oh, my God.
Zach Coulter, like, in the skirmish in the beginning, like, falls. And I played the entire day with, like, a broken thumb. And, we all were bleeding. I mean, I don't know why we did that. You know, looking back, I'm like, you get so into the moment. You get so in this idea of, you know, sports, competition, competitive, I need
like,
to
haven't
impress.
Been out of your hotel room in
that
like a
too.
Week.
That too. Fresh air.
Yeah.
A woman.
Don't make me go back. There's a lady here.
There's
and
a
like,
woman.
JoJo, like, really played, like, she plays it up. Like, the winning team carted her off the field on their shoulders like a prize. I was like, okay, JoJo. So Jordan gets the group date rose
because and we also see a little bit of Robbie.
He opens up to her with his feelings.
Right. Jordan shares feelings. Robbie shares a makeout session on a pool table.
I thought he was going to pin her on the table when he cleared the – that was kind of smooth. And then I was like, okay, kept it PG. But that was pretty smooth actually.
I feel like they're teeing Robbie up for more screen time.
I can't get into Robbie. I don't know.
He's not my type. But I think they're trying.
No, he definitely stood out a little more in this episode. So Jordan gets the rose.
And back at the house, Chad is still angry.
Well, so the next morning, they are all hanging out, getting ready for the two-on-one date. And Jordan makes a comment that Chad doesn't appreciate. And Chad's like,
I'm going to stalk you.
He's like, you think this is just a show? After this is over, I'm going to find you.
He's like, you think I
can't
find you?
And I'm going to kill you. I will come to where you live. And Jordan's like, cool. Then finally, Alex
really excited to take Chad down.
Alex is amped.
He is so
ready. I mean, let's back up because I, you know, this is actually my I consider this, if I have one area of expertise, it's certainly not getting the girl. That is not an area of expertise in my real life or in my bachelor life. But the 2-on-1 date, I think, you know, is, and I think that one day, I remember that so well. But you know, Luke is back from being on cloud 9 after his 1-on-1 date, and then you have sitting next to him is, you know, Alex and Chad, who are, it's just like the most awkward setting. And they did this for to us too, and it was myself and you know, Ben Scott was the guy I was going to be on the 2-on-1 with, and Chris Siegfried, who's now Desiree's husband, was the guy who just got back from the 1-on-1 in Munich, and he's there, and he's kind of like, you know, trying to like, yeah, you know, the producers are there, like, you know, ask them how they feel about tomorrow and ask them. And he's asking all these questions. I like the one when he goes, Chad, if you were the person, hypothetically speaking, who were sent home, why do you think that would be? And he's just like, it's a dumb question, bro. Like, like, you know, like the Bryce Harper, you know, it's a clown question, bro.
It is funny to me when people watch the show and say, oh, why are these guys provoking Chad? And it's like, because there would be no show if they didn't ask him questions or engage with him. So obviously producers are not like, cool, you guys just hang out in different parts of the house.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Oh, remember, yeah.
You never have to be in the same room.
Here's all your phones back. Here's a Kindle and an iPad. Like, go watch, you know, have you seen season 2 of Bloodline? Like, go. Why don't you go catch up? Go in the other room and catch up. I mean,
yeah, if Netflix was involved, that's all that would happen in the house, probably.
Yeah, the guys would be texting JoJo, like, hot tub in the middle of the woods sounds cool. But like, why don't you come over?
Deep and into the OC.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Season 3, come over. Yeah. Come over.
So they finally leave for the 2-on-1.
Yeah. Alex is stoked.
Oh, yeah.
Frames
by Wells as the battle of good versus evil.
Yeah. Every season, it's the battle of good versus evil.
Were you? You were good.
I was the guy that everyone got along with. And Ben was, my season was the guy that everyone wanted to see sent home. And I have to say, I mean, I think Alex is taking this. It looks like Alex is taking this to the extreme of like he's on this holy crusade to send.
He seems,
you know,
a little self-righteous about it.
Yeah, he's definitely self-righteous. He's definitely on, but he's being, you know, he's being stoked as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you also, when you have every human being in the house, and I'm not just saying the other cast members, when you have every producer, every PA, every security member, every sound guy, camera guy telling you, this guy's a real jerk, we really hope you're the one who comes back and gets the rose, you sort of feel, and you sort of lose yourself in that moment in the sense that you forget, oh my God, like, some of this is not going to be in context completely. People watching are going to be like, why, you know, why is he so aggressively attacking this other person? Although this season, I think that's less of a problem.
Less so.
Because I think everyone understands.
Is such an extreme
they
case.
Even showed, I think, Jordan or one of the other guys saying, you know, this isn't just, you know, for himself. Alex is like doing this for all of us, for everyone.
Yeah, that same thing my season. They said, you know, do this. You know, America is going to be watching. America is not going to like Ben. They're going to want, you know, they're going to be really upset if he wins. Like, you need to send him
home. So they said that to you.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And of course, I was like, yeah, hurrah.
You know, love America.
I was like, but also I was very upset that I was put on the 2-on-1 date because let's be honest, the 2-on-1 date, even if you win, it's a Pyrrhic victory. I mean, you're on the 2-on-1 date. The person who wins a 2-on-1 date very rarely, you know, is there on the last day. And so, you know, if you're put in a situation where you're just there to slay the dragon or you're just there for extra drama, you know you're not one of the guys that, like, she's really that into.
Yeah.
And I think it's – so I recognize that. Rather, I wasn't really stoked until the day of. Then I'm like, well, you know, I sort of took the – well, I might as well win. I'm not going to, you know, end up being engaged to this girl, but I might as well win and beat this, you know, get this guy out of the house so at least we can all, like, feel less awkward when we're all in the same room together.
Because you liked the other guys on your season.
Yeah, I got along with everyone. I mean, and you know, the thing, of course, and I wonder if Alex will end up saying this as well, you know, the thing was a little overblown in my season with my thing with Ben. You know, we actually started to be just sort of polite and cordial to each other until they put us on that 2-on-1. But, you know, I think to a man, I mean, everyone else in the house is kind of like, you don't understand, this guy's doing this. And everyone's like, I just got out of an interview. I told them all about how I can't stand this person and whatever. And it's like, okay, well, everyone seems to be, you know, my season at least, it was like everyone is like Team Michael. The thing after the, you know, well, I'm sure we're going to get to it, but, you know, when they pull away the one suitcase and everyone celebrates, that happened on my season yeah. too. And, you know, I will say of all the moments, like watching that back on my season, like made me feel really good. It was like, yeah. you know, yeah. at least in the moment, the guy, you know, whatever, America might think, you know, you took it too far. You were too self-righteous. You were just as bad almost as the villain because you were so amped up about things. Like you're no better than he in many ways. But watching the reaction of the guys and knowing what, and like, you know, what I
friends.
Know. Yeah. yeah. And also coming back and the sound, like some of the sound guys being like, dude, we're so glad you're here. Like, we're so glad. Like,
he was,
like, you know, the, you know, they were, he was rude to people that were just staff and like, you know, about, you know, yeah. and so
that's
it's kind of like,
bad look.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's one thing to be rude to the other guys that are all in it. And then it's another thing to be rude to the people who are trying to make the experience and just doing their job and like there yeah. to like, you know, get you a glass of water when you need it, you know. I have a lot to say with the two-on-one.
No, it's so interesting.
Okay, so this group date, or two-on-one, is pretty risky for two guys who are Marines and hate each other.
They're like, let's go into the woods and just see what happens.
Yeah, with weapons. Like, they're at one point standing next to each other with hatchets.
Yeah, it was like a Bear Grylls, you know, Bear Grylls, like, type, you know, you know, they're going to... Yeah.
It felt very yeah. much
maybe,
like...
Maybe they were going to bury the hatchet. Maybe that was the
maybe that was the metaphor they were going for. They were like, nah, yeah. let's just leave this.
Yeah, not bury the hatchet happen. In each other's skulls, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, that almost happened.
Yeah.
So when Alex gets a little alone time with JoJo, he just lays it all out for her. He says this morning he threatened to find yeah. Jordan after the show and beat him up.
And
he
JoJo did not seem impressed by that, especially no. given that Jordan, she's clearly
oh my God,
the most
her,
into yeah. Jordan.
I wanted to talk. I wrote myself a note about this because her reaction, you know, she was kind of like listening like, oh, this sucks. Jordan?
Yeah.
He threatened my Jordan?
Yeah.
Like almost like after the show, I might be with him. Like Chad's going to come find me then.
Yeah,
you know,
so
like
true.
She started to like think this through. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, nope, no more Chad. It was like when Evan's like, look, I'm going to leave if you don't get rid of
She's
Jordan.
She's like, I don't
yeah,
care,
well,
Evan,
here's the
fine.
Group date rose, blah, blah, yeah. blah. Yeah. All of a sudden it's like, wait, he did Jordan. You know, now the wrath of JoJo like comes down.
And she handled herself so well.
She really
on
did.
On this date.
I thought it was so funny when she confronted Chad. And she's like, so you threatened to beat people. That's not okay. And he's like, yeah, so they will be quiet.
He was just like, literally, what other suggestion do you have? And she's
I'd
like, have a conversation like an adult.
And he was like, oh, damn it.
He's like, oh, shoot. I missed that
he's
one.
He's like, I didn't think she would have another idea. Oh, this did not go the way I expected.
They were pretty respectful on the date, I think, you know, and I think— you know, Alex, whether or not he was asked or prompted, I don't remember, or just sort of came out and spilled all this stuff. But I think the nail in the coffin for Chad was definitely threatening the golden boy. You know, you don't threaten the automatic quarterback of both teams on the group date. You know, yeah. the quarterback is very
just a
protected.
Beautiful metaphor.
Yeah, yeah. You just don't.
And
you don't.
And she was still a little bit, she was trying to give him a chance to explain it away, and he just couldn't do it. He was like, but right. I needed like, them to be quiet.
He's like, but I'm also
and so
not
I had
an aggressive
to hurt them.
Guy. Yeah. I just sometimes have to punch people.
So that
right.
they'll
How
do what I want
them,
them to do.
right.
And that's
so
the
that
thing.
They will submit.
Yeah,
and
I don't understand.
Like, no
How
matter,
do you get people to listen to every yeah. single thing?
But, like,
yeah.
no matter
sure,
who he
JoJo
was talking
saw
about.
What marriage with Chad, you know, could potentially
yeah,
be
yeah.
like.
Yeah, like, that is threatening. Like, you yeah. do not want to be in a romantic relationship with someone who thinks that
yeah.
if you don't agree with them, they get to punch you.
Right. Like, what she's going to be hearing is not just he's having conflict with men in the house, but if people don't obey him, he feels like there's literally no option but to hurt them physically. And that will include her.
You know, Chad, you know, as dim-witted as he seems, I think he does realize that there are men with video cameras in front of his face. I think he sees them and knows that the cameras are on. And so, you know, I think he had no choice but to admit that he may have said something
yeah,
that he
yeah.
should not have said. That's
Might
what
have
he said.
Something he
and she
have
sends
said.
Him home in a super straightforward way. She's like, you're yeah. not the person you say you are. I don't want to be with someone who threatens other people and who thinks physical violence is a way to solve things. Like,
yeah.
that's it.
Go survive in the woods
and
for the next 20 minutes.
And then he wanders around in the woods.
Go hunt. Go hunt.
His whole interaction with Alex after after he hears that Alex has talked about him to JoJo was chilling.
Not
he
very
says,
happy with
I'm not very happy with you right now.
Yeah.
I'm not
without
mad.
Blinking.
I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
The sad thing is I can't hurt you because I get in trouble. This could be not even re-edited. It could be a scene out of a Lifetime.
No, it's like my dog tells me I should harm you, but I can't always listen to my dog, can I? You know, I mean, it was very sociopathic.
He has crazy eyes.
So
it's
dark.
Yeah, that
terrifying.
Was crazy. And the sunburned lips, I'm sorry. They were just like, ugh.
And I mean, love that they did just leave him. They were like, find your own way back. And they knew exactly what was going to happen when they left him in the woods.
And I love that it was right as the sun was setting. So it just got so dark. It was like something out of the Blair Witch Project.
No, it was, definitely.
Yeah.
You could hear you could see the sticks, the stick figures or.
And then he was like smearing his hands on the glass door of the place where they were staying. He was being really weird.
Well, yeah, he
was
goes
like,
back.
Hey,
I mean,
I'm here.
Goes back
because they
guys.
Were like, yes, we can get him in another episode, though he has already been eliminated.
Let's talk about that a second. I mean, if anything happens here, and this is me speaking as a nerdy lawyer, wow, they are going to be very liable for any harm that Chad causes returning to that, because now it's a situation where they can't even hide behind, well, this is the formula show. Everyone assumes the risk. They know what they're getting into. This would be a first that they've allowed someone who was eliminated on a two-on-one date, a particular person that no one liked. I could see if it's someone was eliminated that, you know, what if Alex were eliminated? They wanted to let Alex go back and say and hug everyone and say goodbye and like, I'm sorry I tried, but, you know, Chad is the Chad and he's going to hang. He's a hanging Chad. He's going to continue hanging around and ruining our lives. Goddamn Florida. Yeah. Forever. But instead they allow the guy to come back while they're all, you know, doing shots of Fireball like they're 18-year-old freshmen in college. And, you know, he goes back and it's like, dun, dun, dun. And there's no – I mean, you saw in the preview. I mean, he obviously makes physical contact with Jordan's pretty face. And, like, you know, God, if JoJo's watching that now – I mean, JoJo might be sharpening a knife to go find Chad. I mean, I don't know.
It does seem crazy to me that he could make physical threats and actually physically attack people in the house, and they could keep letting him back.
It's such a cost-benefit analysis in the sense of this is epic television. This is an opportunity we may never have again versus, but God forbid he actually breaks someone's nose or whatever.
Hurts someone.
So they're actually probably balancing, and I know the lawyers at Warner Horizon who are probably balancing this out, and they probably got multiple phone calls throughout this whole time.
That's
like
nuts.
If he look, let's go through. I mean, I'm sure they're literally having the conversation of Chad punches someone in the. What's the worst thing that could happen? Chad punches someone in the face. We break it up. The person breaks a nose, breaks a this, breaks a that. We end up settling for $1 million plus. You know, is it worth the
worth
extra
it?
Viewership and the blah blah blah?
It's
I mean, they're probably
just
literally
just
having
settling
these,
to me
these
that,
conversations.
Like,
that also
I feel
sounds
like
so
if
much
ever,
like unreal to think about.
It's
but
so
it's
reckless.
Unsettling to me that this wouldn't happen if it were. A female contestant, you know, that we're like, oh, men should just get beat up and that's a cost of business. Mm-hmm. I think we've reached a point where we feel uncomfortable seeing women
get beat up?
Getting beaten up on TV, at least. We're like, oh, a man shouldn't hit a woman.
Oh, of course not.
But also, men shouldn't assault other men. And I don't think that that's like a reasonable cost-benefit analysis for us to make as a society.
Right, you shouldn't be putting these other men in a position where
but
they
feel
physically
unsafe. But that's something that they can do
unsafe.
Because as a society, we have accepted that.
Well, right, and you even heard that a little bit in Chris Harrison's whole analysis. Well, like, is this just what
men are happens
when men get in a room? I'm like, oddly, I've seen men be in rooms together, and they don't actually always physically
assault
each other.
Their messages are all over the place. But, you know, who's to blame for this is Ben Higgins, because his season was kind of boring, and so now they need to spice things up.
That is true.
So, I mean,
thanks
you know,
a lot, Ben.
I mean, if you know, Olivia, you know, who's a very sweet and great girl, it was the villain of that scene. I mean, they needed Chad.
They were desperate.
Yeah. Desperate times call for Chad measures.
Yeah, I think we better wrap it up.
Thank you so much for joining us, Michael. This is
amazing.
No,
this is awesome. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Come back
again. Yeah, come back anytime.
I will.
end now. Welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool, people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
And now, Feminism Fails. 2 episodes this week. So many feminism fails. Most of them were Chad.
So difficult to narrow it down.
First, Chad says he'd rather not see JoJo in a bikini if it means other men will see her in a bikini. We're giving that a 5 because, aside from being spiteful, it really seemed creepily possessive of her body. Not how it works, dude.
And then Chad thinks JoJo needs to earn the right to learn about his sexual history. And he doesn't want to hear about hers, like, at all, because obviously women shouldn't have a sexual history before Chad. We're going to give that a 5 for what I think are obvious reasons. You don't get to dictate her sex life. Also, like, have a little bit of fun on a date.
Yeah. Like, if she's with you now, is it just, like, so horrifying to imagine that maybe she had sex with another dude once?
Sorry. Women actually do have sexual histories, and that's okay.
Next, Chad refuses to believe that JoJo is interested in another man who is maybe less alpha than him because that's not what women want. I guess I'm going to give that a 4 because I think that Chad is just really insecure, but he is expressing it still in a really controlling, male-dominant, macho, anti-feminist way, and I can't get down with that.
And then Ben Roethlisberger, twice accused of rape, stars in a major romantic date. Ick. Don't even know what to rate this. He obviously wasn't convicted, so legally he's innocent. It just seems like a poor choice for a show like The Bachelorette. You just probably don't need to introduce anything about sexual assault into a show that's supposed to be about finding lasting love.
Yeah, like why go there, you know? Next, James T. is lauded as a warrior by the other men when he refuses recommended medical treatment for a head wound during the football date because, obviously, it's girly to get stitches during sports.
Love is a battlefield, Claire.
I'm just giving that a 3 because, you know, everyone wants to act tough in certain situations, but I think that we need to be more accepting of men getting medical treatment when they're injured on the sports field. It's a radical thought. And while we're on the subject of sports and feminism fails, I just wanted to address one thing from last episode that apparently rubbed a few people the wrong way. When Charlene, Emma, and I had a really confusing conversation about Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors NBA semifinals run, it went kind of badly because none of us know anything about the NBA. I made a joke that this is why women shouldn't be on sports shows. I just want to clarify that it was very much a joke, and it really saddens me to think that anyone maybe heard that and felt like it was a serious statement. I grew up watching and loving sports. I followed Notre Dame basketball, U.S. national team soccer. I follow several sports now, not the NBA. And one of my pet peeves is men thinking that I or any other women have less legitimate opinions about sports because of our gender. And that's why I'm really familiar with that annoying stereotype, and I tossed it off sarcastically. But I'm sad if it upset any other lady sports fans out there. So I hope that that clears things up and that you are still listening.
And on that note, that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guests, Kevin Nguyen and Michael Garofola.
Have you had a chance to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes? If not, now is the perfect time to subscribe and give us a rating. Every time we get a new subscription or review, our show climbs the iTunes chart, which helps other people discover our show. And please like us on Facebook, too. You'll find our live after show streaming from our page on Monday nights after The Bachelorette, plus photos, news, adorbs, pictures of us, all sorts of cool stuff. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily Rose. Or you can send us an email. We love getting those at heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com.
Thanks for listening. There's no episode of The Bachelorette next week, so we will be off too. Enjoy your free week. Watch the NBA Finals. Take a hot yoga class. We'll see you here in 2 weeks.
For the final chapter of Chad.
Can't wait.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.